All right, I have something to present here, an interesting character in the Old Testament that we don't read much about, only a little. And it's found in Genesis chapter 5, in verse 21 through 24. And it's about Enoch. Enoch is a man who had a good name and a good word given from the scripture. We'll just read what it says here about him. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. So he was the father of Methuselah. Methuselah lived right up until the time of the flood, the oldest man recorded in the Bible. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, so he was 65 years old when Methuselah was born, and then he lived another 300 years after that. And so he was living in the generation before the last generation of the flood. But he was living in a time when people were walking away and falling away from God. And here we have a man who walked with God. And so twice in these few verses, the Bible associates Enoch's name with the name of a man who walked with God. So how does a man walk with God? We have some clues in the New Testament as to how a man is affected who walks with God when all the world around him seems to be walking away from God. And that's, I think, very important for us today. Because as we see what's happening in our country, which used to be called a Christian nation, it's called post-Christian now, and how that general society has abandoned the principles of God, they're walking away from God, and we are trying to uphold God's principles, and we're trying to walk with God. And so I believe that it's very interesting and very pertinent for us to take a look at Enoch's life as he walked with God in that kind of a situation, very similar to what we are facing today. we believe, and I think we would probably all agree, that the days that we're living in are the end times that the Bible speaks about as we see prophecies being fulfilled all around us, and we see the degeneration and degradation of mankind as they fall away and walk away from God. And so going to the 24th chapter of Matthew, Jesus is telling us something there about how it's going to be and making a comparison. In chapter 24, verse 37, it says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. As it was in the days before the flood, as it was in the days when Enoch was living, so it's going to be at the coming of the Son of Man." And the picture that he gives here is that people are going to be living their lives pretty much like they always have, eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage and building and all of those things that go on. These were going on in the time of Enoch as well. For Enoch, I think walking with God entailed two primary things. And the first was, of course, communion with God. And then the second was obedience to God. Today we have many that claim to have communion with God, but they're not walking in obedience to him. They are ignoring very plain passages of Scripture, just like the ones that we were studying in our Sunday school today, and yet they're claiming to walk with God. I believe the same thing was happening back in Enoch's time. Walking with God is hardly an easy road when you are surrounded by every degree of evil in the world. Anything from scorners and scoffers who make fun and who brand the people of God as legalistic Pharisees to outright physical persecution. The Holy Ghost, foreseeing this, gave us Hebrews 11. He has taken care there to inspire holy men of old to record the examples of those men and women who, even under the Old Testament dispensation, were examples of people who walked with God in the midst of evil and the price that they had to pay for it. God enabled them to cheerfully take his yoke upon them and count his service perfect freedom and not bondage and legalism. But that's the way the people of God are being stereotyped today, is that if you emphasize obedience, and if you are claiming some or standing for something, then somehow you must be in bondage, and you must be in bondage and legalistically bound to the law. These people in Hebrews 11 understood true freedom, and I believe that people who walk with God today also know what true freedom is. The first martyr there in Hebrews 11, of course, Abel, he heads the list there of a long list of those who stood for their faith, walking with God, and willing to pay the price, whatever it was. And I believe that that list will continue to grow longer as the world stands. Enoch comes second in that list. Now, if you've ever noticed that, in Hebrews 11, the heroes of faith, Enoch is there mentioned second. And it says about him, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found. because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And then the next verse following says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How do we know a man of faith? How do we know that Enoch was a man of faith, that he deserved a place here among the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11? It was because he lived a life that pleased God. And what is it that pleases God? How do we know a person is pleasing God? How do we know that a man is a man of faith? As I've said many times, in the book of Hebrews, the word faith can be substituted with the word obedience. The reason we know that he was a man of faith is because he obeyed God. And so who was this man, Enoch, this man that walked with God? Was he some quiet individual who was so engrossed in his relationship with God that he became somewhat of a recluse who had time for no one and nothing else but to commune with God? Is that kind of person that you think of when you think of Enoch? That somehow he just had this exclusive relationship with God, and that he just went into kind of a life of a hermit where he just communed with God and just found his total fulfillment in that. I don't believe so, and the reason I don't believe so is because of what the Bible says. Just as the wicked world was going about their daily lives living for evil, so he was going about his daily life living righteously. And so there was a conflict there between him and those who were living an evil life. And I don't believe that he was a private recluse, but rather he was a man like Noah, a preacher of righteousness, a flaming preacher of righteousness. We have these words in Jude, the 14th and 15th verse. And again, here we have Noah, or Enoch, coming to the surface. And he's talking about the end times there, and he's talking about how it's going to be and all the deceptions and things. And Enoch was a man who lived in the end times, and he was a righteous man. He walked with God even under adverse circumstances. And so it says about him here, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." He was not a recluse, but he was a fiery preacher of righteousness. And he was speaking out against the evil of his day. You know, it was Adam who was hiding in the bushes. Adam was the one who had sinned against God, and his relationship was broken. And he was the one who was hiding. But here we have Enoch, a man who had a relationship with God, who was walking with God out in the forefront with boldness, living his life for the Lord. The testimony of Enoch is given to us, I believe, by the Holy Spirit to also inspire us to walk with God. And it's important that we understand what it means to walk with God. God gave us the godly example of Enoch for a reason. And it's so that we can learn from him and follow his example. To walk with God means a number of things. First of all, to walk with God, as I've listed here, means to be a friend of God, to have a relationship with God, to be a friend of God. To be a friend of God means to allow him to create us anew, to make us a new creature in Christ Jesus, to make us, to change us from the old, what we were, to what we can be, potentially, under the influence and the power of the Holy Spirit, as a converted person who has repented of his sins. To be reconciled to God. And that means a relationship that was broken but is now restored. And Amos asked this question in the book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 3. "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Am I in accord with God? What, am I really walking with God? Are we together? Are we agreed? To be a friend of God means we must cut our ties to the world and not be double-minded. James says it this way, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses," speaking of spiritual adultery, "know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Okay, so that's one point in what it means to walk with God. We have to renounce the world, and we have to receive God and everything that he represents. To walk with God means to commune with him through Bible reading and prayer. And that means to become familiar with his word, with a mind to obey it. The scripture describes it as the Holy Ghost dwelling in us. And is that really my testimony? Do I have the Holy Ghost dwelling within me? Do I really have an appetite for the Word of God with a mind to obey it? Is that why I read the Bible? Is because I want to become more conformed to the image of Christ? Is that really the heart of me? The Holy Ghost dwelling in us. To have a relationship with him, of course, exceeds the exceeds that of the one talent man that I often talk about there in Matthew 25, who just his idea of God was a hard man, and he just requires things that are unreasonable. No. To walk with God means to obey him. In the context of an abiding relationship, walking with God, Jesus says this. There in the 15th chapter of John, where he's talking about the vine and the branches and the relationship with God and how he abides in us and we abide in him, he says, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." And so I'm just saying that to walk with God means to obey him. A person that walks, though he moves slowly, this is a quote that I got. A person that walks, though he moves slowly, yet he goes forward and does not continue in one place. And so it is with those that walk with God. They go on, as the psalmist says, from strength to strength, or in the language of the Apostle Paul, they pass from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Okay, next, to walk with God means to promote God and his word. Promote God and his word and will by our words and actions. We take the example of the apostles, the disciples, in Acts chapter 4, after they had been put in prison and released and appeared again at the temple. And there they found them, and they began to upbraid them and oppose them. And this is what they said. They said, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." And since they couldn't find anything against them, the Bible says they threatened them and let them go. So these next words that they spoke, that the Bible speaks about them, were spoken after the threats were given. And it says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." And so they continued. And I believe that that is for us today as well. We're living in a world and in a time when it's not popular to be a Christian and to stand for something. Someone has said that those who don't stand for something will fall for anything. And I believe that's right. Bringing this to a conclusion, if we're walking with God, then we will want to walk alongside others who are also walking with God. We will watch our associations and the company that we keep. Are they building us up? Are they encouraging us to walk closer to God? Or are they drawing us away and excusing wrong behavior and drawing us toward the world? You know, if that's the direction we're going, then we're not walking with God. But we will want to walk alongside others who are also walking with God and who encourage us in the right direction. We'll watch our associations. We will be where God's people are gathered, whether it be in Sunday services or Wednesday evening prayer meetings. And if there's any indication of where we are in our walk with God by our Wednesday evening prayer meeting attendance, it is cause for alarm. And Sunday evening services. You know, if our walk with God has, if our attendance in services has anything to say about our walk with God, we have cause for alarm. And I think that that we need to check ourselves. You know, where is our relationship? Am I walking with God? Do I enjoy being with the people of God? And, you know, if we feel like, well, these things are just formal and everyday and boring, well, let's not point our fingers at others. Let's look at ourselves first of all. You know, what is my contribution? What am I doing to make it sweet and something that is to be desired? Am I adding something to it? You know, any of us can sit back and be critical, but let's make a contribution that will be a blessing to everyone. Let's walk with God, and let's enjoy that walk. And I'm going to close with a scripture from 1 John chapter 1, where it says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you." Now, that him is Jesus, and we is John and the disciples. So this is the message which John and the disciples heard of Christ, and they declared it to us. And that is that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Shall we kneel in prayer?